We look to God's Word tonight in the Epistle, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read that entire chapter and look especially at the verses 11 through 13. Before we do that, we ask for God's blessing in a moment of prayer. Father, to you we come once again as little children, knowing that you love us, that you care for us, and that's why you speak to us of your love and faithfulness in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, may your word this evening speak to all of our hearts and lives in such a way that we may rejoice and thank you and seek to live lives of thankful service. For Jesus' sake. Amen. First John 5, found on page 1213, if your Bible is similar to this one. The word of the Lord. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the Father, loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Tonight I want to speak to you about certainty, something for sure. And people will sometimes say, can we be sure of anything? Yes, we can be sure of something. The answer is yes, we can be sure. And that's the purpose of this book. purpose of the Bible. You want something from for sure. You know, it's the beginning of a year, and you make not necessarily resolutions, but you say, hey, I'm going to do better this year at reading my Bible. And if you do that, then I can promise you something. I can promise you will be blessed, because God, your Heavenly Father, will be speaking to you. I have a couple of verses here that really speak about certainty. I'm sure you could find more, but these are two of my favorites. They're both from John, the Gospel and the Epistle. The first one is from John 20, verse 31, where it talks about Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are written. Rather interesting, is it? These are written. Sometimes people say, I want to see a miracle. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's what it tells us. You may be sure when you hear of the miracles of Jesus that written in the book, and you read those miracles, you may be sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God, Romans 10:17 says. And so tonight I look at that other verse that I talked about, the first epistle, chapter 5, verse 13. Here he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And the reason I'm preaching this sermon tonight is that I have to hear it too. Isn't that something? We come to church every time and we hear this again and again, and I preach it again and again, and yet I wonder sometimes, and I think you do too, am I really saved? Am I really a child of God? As I do pastoral work especially, I find people always questioning. And you know what they're doing when they start questioning? They're looking at themselves. And there have been times when I've had to say to people who are saying, how can I be saved? I do this and I do that. And I said, I think it's impossible with you, but not with God. And so that's the first thought this evening I want to share with you from God's Word. What God does, what God gives. You see, eternal life isn't something that we earn. You all know that. You've heard it. It isn't something that we create because we're good enough. But it's a gift of God. People are looking for security, you know. They build fences and walls. And they've got all kinds of cameras going around. And you wonder sometimes if you're on camera or not. And then bells start ringing if you press the wrong button or something on your car. For old people, it's really tough, because we just used to walk through doors and go in and out and to our neighbors, but it's a different kind of world today. And then people want to live long, physical health. So we go to the doctor and we eat pills and we eat good food and we keep exercising. And I'm not saying don't do that. That's all good stuff. We have to keep doing that. But they want to live long and well. And then people accumulate things. They got so many things, they have to rent cubicles to store their things. And they don't even know what's in the storage shed anymore. And you go all over. And I always said to the boys, I said, you really want to make money, you better build yourself some of those storage sheds. Because people are building sheds to store their goods. But God knows what we really need. You know, I could say, what did you get for Christmas? Did you get what you really wanted? Yes, we get what we really wanted and more. But God says, this is what you need. You need life. You need eternal life. What is it? It's spiritual life. It's life that makes all of life real. It's the opposite of spiritual death. He speaks not so much of length, but of quality when we're talking about it's God's life. That's what it is. What he has in perfection and what we have in relationship to him. Ephesians 2:1 puts it this way, as for you, you were once dead in trespasses and sins. You see, that's where it is. The problem is really sin. Sin which makes us dead. And so when we look at our lives, how can I be sure? We see sin. The song puts it this way, to live apart from God is death. That's death. You remember in the garden, how when God put them out of the garden, what had happened? They had sinned. They had broken his command. And so they were put out. And they were living in death. But God in mercy and grace made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Remember that boy who went away from home and he wanted to have everything when he was younger and he couldn't understand why he couldn't have it, and finally his dad got tired, I guess, of listening to him, and he gave him his goods and he went away and he wasted it and he found out what life was like away from home, away from his father. And that was a picture of the Heavenly Father. How people want to go out and they want to do their own things. And sometimes you just grieve. You pray and you pray for them and you grieve for them because they're lost. They're lost to God. They're lost to the things of God. But what happened? The Lord changed his mind. And he went back home and he found out how wonderful his Heavenly Father was. He was there waiting for him in love and mercy. And so God gives us eternal life. And how does he give it to us? In a new relationship, in a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Many roads may lead to Rome, but there's only one way to the Father, to eternal life. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There you got it. The life. Eternal life. Real life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through the cross. Except through atonement. Payment for sins. And this is the key to our assurance or lack of it. Whom do you believe? Next week, I understand you're coming to the table of the Lord. And then it's going to be visibly portrayed to you in a very special way that Jesus Christ shed his blood. He gave his life so that you might have life. This is the key to our assurance. Whom do you believe? On what do you focus? This life is in his Son. God gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so secondly, I would have you notice with me tonight, what do we then as believers, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work for us, what do we have? When we believe, we have the Son, Jesus Christ, and all his benefits. These words are for believers and believers only. I write these things to you who believe. There you have it, in the name of the Son of God. I think this is where we have to pause for a moment and Think of our relationship to Jesus Christ. The idea expressed in our text is of an intimate, personal relationship. Something like Paul, because I know whom I have believed. And that's not just intellectual knowledge. It's just not a system of beliefs. We're so thankful for our creeds and for the organization that they give to us of the teachings of Scripture. But we're not saved by a creed. We're saved by a person. The person of Jesus Christ in the fullness of His finished work. So you have to think this way. Jesus didn't just die for sinners. He died for you. He died for me. It's a more personal thing than that. And yet He died for His sheep. So it's the congregation. And that's why the communion of the saints and the gathering for worship is so important. He died for us. But He died for each one of us who believe. Quite a difference to hear a story about someone rescued from sure death in a fire and being the one who was rescued. I thought of that. Well, now they got the fires in Australia. But when you see those terrible fires, and then you see someone who came through that and who lived through that, and you say, I don't know how that's possible. But it's one thing to observe it. It's something else to come through the fire. And then I was thinking of our creed, the Heidelberg Catechism. It asked that question, are all people then saved through Christ just as they were lost through Adam? No, only those are saved who through true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all His benefits. So there you have it, that personal relationship, grafted into Christ and receive all His benefits. And then answer question and answer 60, how are you righteous before God? Only by faith in Jesus Christ. Here you have it. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commands, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, and as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Isn't that something? Are you perfect? Who would say tonight, I'm perfect? I am perfect. I am perfect in Jesus Christ. Because I believe. But then I can go to the other side and say, I'm not perfect yet. I still sin. I still doubt. I still wonder. Am I really a child of God? My life doesn't always show it. But you have to listen. The perfect satisfaction, holiness, righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to me. All I have to do is accept it with a believing heart. And I know there are people that I'll talk to then and they'll say, oh, but my faith is so weak. I was thinking about that as I was reading these words about prayer, that those who are born of God, we don't keep on sinning. That's not the attitude of our mind. That's not what we want. That's not what we desire. We want to be like Jesus. That's our desire. My faith is so weak. Well, then why don't you pray? It says right here, if you ask anything according to God's will, He'll give it to you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you think God wants you to go to hell? No way. He wants you to be saved. That's why you're here. He says, I have you in my covenant. You belong to me. Whoever calls shall be saved. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So, you have some struggles, you have some doubts, you wonder. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6, verse 40. John 3 is also a good place to look about believing, and that's the business about the snake. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You go back to Numbers 21 and you read about that. When the people sinned and they were complaining, God had just delivered them. Think about it. You know, God saved me. I got to go to church. What? I got to go to church. I want to go to church. I want to sing his praise. I got to be a witness. I want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. They were complaining. And God stuck it to him with those fiery serpents. You remember those snakes? And they were getting bitten. Oh, then they prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us. And then he had Moses put up that bronze snake. And whoever looked to the snake would be saved. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. I wonder why he used the snake. Your pastor, he'll probably tell me afterwards why he had the snake. You know, the snake, that was the guy in the desert, or in the garden. That was the deceiver. And now they're being bitten by snakes. And what does he do? He takes someone right from the snakes. Oh, that's a little bit like Christ, huh? He took our place. This morning we heard a sermon about that again. He was enfleshed. He lived among us. You take one of those fiery serpents and you put him up on a pole. Ah, he represents the enemy, but the death of death, the death of the enemy, the death of sin. And so Jesus Christ takes our place. Whoever looks to the Son, John 6, 40, and believes in him shall have eternal life. That's what God gives. He gives new life, spiritual life in Jesus Christ. That's what we have as believers. Finally, what does this mean? What does this mean? That tonight, no matter how many human doubts and wonderments you may have, and how often you think, am I really a child of God? You may be sure. Can we be sure of anything? Yes, we can be sure of this. We have life so that you may know that you have eternal life. The only thing for sure is found in Jesus Christ, in his word of truth. Remember that other verse? But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. Verse 13 tonight. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. How does this work? The Spirit. The Spirit does it through the Word. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So what are you going to do in this new year or every day? Pick up the book. You want to know something for sure? I read that psalm tonight and then I thought, boy, oh boy, oh boy, He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. It sure doesn't look like it. What desolations He has wrought in all the earth. That surely is going on all over. Those things. I don't always understand what God is doing. I can tell you some stories that just grieve my heart. And I trust they grieve the heart of God too. And I know God is in ultimate control. But I do not understand everything He does. But you know something? I know He's my Heavenly Father. And He loves me for the sake of Jesus. You may have troubles and trials in the days ahead. You may be celebrating blessings. As you live your life, you have this steadfast assurance and hope. Tell you a story about two men who met on the path and they were talking, and then two little boys came by. And as they came near, the first man said to the other, "What's the difference in these two boys?" And he took one and he put him on the wall and he said, "Jump! I'll catch you!" And the child just jumped right down and he caught him. Then he took the other boy and he put him on the wall and he begged him and he coaxed him and he said, "Come on, I'll catch you!" He didn't move. He finally had to take him down and set him back on the ground. And the second man who was watching all this says, "What's the difference?" Well, he said, the first boy was my son. He knew me. He trusted me. And the second boy, I don't know who he is. They just must have met walking down the street. And therein lies all the difference, not just for the boys, but for us. The difference is the faith, the trust, the belief, even when we don't understand and know all things. The second son could maybe think, well, he can do it, but he didn't trust it. He didn't know him well enough. And so many like that today, they know the story, the history, but they do not really know and trust the person. You know who this person is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I know my own and my own know me, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand." The question is, do you know Him? That's the all-important question. Here's where you'll find Him. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you could hear this message with me. And I'm encouraged that the Father loves me and He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. Oh Father, how we thank You that in You, Your Word, You tell us that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever believes in You will be saved. But those who do not believe will be condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the Son of God. And so, O Lord, we pray Though our faith be weak, strengthen it. We know it comes from you. It's your gift. And so we look to you, the God of all grace. And our prayer is that we may continue to go forth and live for you in thanksgiving, praise, and certainty. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.